and welcome back to the Sandy Castell Show. My guest today is Darcell Smith. She is a singer, arranger, composer, pianist, actress, musical director, and educator. Welcome, Darcell. How are you today?
I am fine. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's an honor.
Well, it's so good to have you here, and obviously I've heard you sing so many times with my dad's band, with other bands, and I've always been fascinated how great you are as a vocalist. And not only that, you compose your own songs, make your own arrangements, and I know when you walked up to my dad one night and he said, what song do you want to sing? You rattled off some scat thing that I didn't even know what that was. What was that song?
I did Take the A-Train.
I went
to your dad and I said, do you know Take the A-Train?
Yeah.
He said, do you know your key? I said, yes, put it in key of C, please. She knows her keys. I was like, okay. He's like, one, two, one, and then started playing. And we said, we're going to trade fours. And he started playing. He said, do you know how to scat? I said, okay, fine. And then we just started scatting and playing around. He was just like, oh my God, who is this girl? She reads music and she knows her keys.
Well, my dad is very picky, you know, because he's been in this industry for a long time. He's played with all the greats. And when somebody walks up, they know their keys, they know what they're talking about, and they can scat, he's impressed.
I just thank the ones that came before me. I feel like when I'm behind the mic, I'm representing those that's before me. Like, I remember a vocal teacher told me, I was 18 years old. She said, the more you know, the more respect you get. And no one knows, no one respects like an airbrained female singer. The band would just run over them. So I was so hard on myself. I had influences like Melton Mustafa, senior. He played with the Count Basie band. He was the trumpet player. Other influences, like I started off in gospel, and they were very hard on me. They never really patted me on the back so I wouldn't get comfortable. I was always learning and learning, and I listened to a lot of instrumentals. My dad, he's a bass player, and he listened to the instrumentals all the time, and I can never hear that what the average ear can hear. I will always hear what no one else can hear, so that's how I learned scatting and everything.
And you didn't, but you haven't been in Las Vegas for a very long time.
Only
you just got here. What?
September 23rd, 2014.
Yeah, and you were in Florida before that. So was your education all in Florida?
Yes, I graduated from University of Miami and bachelor's with jazz vocal performance.
And now you're singing also with another band.
Yes.
Called the Jasmine.
Jasmine Vocal Band.
Right.
With Dr. Rod Henley. He is the director of the band. And a matter of fact, we're working on our album as of now. So it's coming soon, coming soon, coming soon. So.
Well, I understand that's a whole group of vocalists, right?
Yes, the jazz vocalists.
With a band.
Yes,
yeah.
As well.
And you met them through coming to the
sit-in
with my dad.
Yes.
Over at the Henley studio.
Yes.
Or Hemmings, the Jim Hemmings studio.
Yes, I did. And we did a song called Besame Mucho. Your dad said, this is a challenge. I can't get people to read this. I was like, okay, well, I'm excited. I want to read it. And I listened to it. And then we had rehearsal. And they were like, whoa. And then me, I was like, wait, I'm still missing some parts. He was like, no, that's great, because that's a difficult tune. And then that's when Dr. Rod Henley, he came to me and said, I want you to sing in my jazz vocal band. And I felt honored, because that's what I did in college. So now I'm doing it in Vegas now, so it was pretty fun.
And so when you came here, though, you already had your education, you were already composing your own music, you're already making your own arrangements. So tell us a little bit about that process, because not every chick singer does that, okay?
Well, I was always taught, know your craft, perfect your craft, find your niche, make it grow. I had a pause because I lost my mother 3 years ago. Her name is Georgette Smith, and she was a singer as well. She traveled all over the country and overseas, and she did gospel, and she was an elder in a church. So when I lost her, that is like I lost a piece of me, and I had to kind of deviate and get my life in order and just focus on arranging and just take my time. And when that time comes for me to bring everything out, I have a story to tell.
And you're working on an album right now.
Yes.
And in that album, are you writing original pieces?
Yes, I am. It's called Dream Pushers. My Dream Pushers album. I always encourage people to follow their dreams, make their dreams come true. I was told that I'm not college material and everything. I was, and I'm the first to graduate college in my family.
Well, congratulations. You know,
so I never let anyone tell me what I can't do, and I always push people past their potential, like you can do whatever you decide to do. Whatever you want to do, put your mind to, just do it. So my Dream Pusher album is to push those and encourage those that you can be whatever you want to be, and it doesn't matter how old you are.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Does it?
No.
Because as an artist, and we've discussed this in the past, as an artist, you're continuing to do your craft forever, right? It's just that we go through different stages and we go on a journey.
It's also build your character.
It's
telling a book. It's just a chapter building your character, and without a journey, you don't have a story to tell. So I appreciate the journey that I'm going through and went through, and I'm just excited for the next step.
So what have you found moving to Las Vegas that was maybe something that you didn't expect here?
I found out more about myself. It was more soul searching. I've grown so much spiritually here, and I learned not to have high expectations and just accept people for who they are. And I learned to not just jump into everything, just find my niche, find where I fit, and just stick to it. Just stay focused on one thing and work from there. Me, I think so big, and I'm always trying to go here and there and there and there, and then I don't finish that one thing. I just learned to stay put and stay focused.
So Las Vegas helped you do this?
Las Vegas.
And how is that?
Just trial and error, you know, when you come from a place when everyone knows you in Miami, and then you're in another place when no one knows you, so it's like you have to put your best foot forward, you have to stay humble, and you have to remember everybody don't know you, so everybody's not going to come at you the same way. So I met great people. I had challenging moments of, you know what, Miami taught me how to, when I came to Vegas, I realized I'm here by myself. And it taught me how to be more ambitious and hustle more. Because if I'm just sitting there waiting on a gig, who's gonna call me? No one knows me. So I have to get myself out there. And that's how I started traveling back and forth to Phoenix and doing conferences in Dallas, just looking up information and just meeting people. And I met you and your dad and singing with a jazz orchestra. I'm like, oh my gosh, I met Take Six, the Gordies. I met great people, Nina Freeland, John T. Brar, Carmen McRae's daughter. Like, I studied Carmen McRae in college, and I'm great friends with Dr. Brar. So It's just meeting great people. It's just an honor. And I'm like, I'm just a young girl, young woman, and I know so much about jazz, and I can adapt and have conversation with people. And your dad played with Ella Fitzgerald, so I was like in tears.
Yeah, well, that's what I said. He has played with all the greats. And for him, it's a challenge, as all great musicians, because in Las Vegas, we have a variety of different singers and different levels, right? But they're all going out and getting out and performing in some of the clubs that we have here. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the lounges like we used to have.
Okay.
And that's one of the things you didn't get to experience because you weren't here then. But the fact is, you're finding opportunities, and you found us through WEMA, Women in Music and Arts. You came to one of our events, and who brought you there?
Robert Gordy.
Robert Gordy, that's right. Robert Gordy
Robert
brought
Gordy,
you.
Barry
thank
Gordy.
You, Robert.
Thank you. You know, he's a great guy. He introduced me to, I wouldn't have met you, Dick, Castell. I'm like, just everything happened so fast in less than a year.
Yeah.
All I had to do was get behind that microphone and just sing.
Right. And you're going to sing for us today.
Yes, I am.
With the Dick Castell Jazz Combo.
Yes, I am.
Which is over there. They're just anxiously awaiting for you. What song are you going to sing for us today?
I'm going to sing a blues called Route 66. I was feeling kind of blues. That's where I wore my little hat and just feel like doing a little Kansas City shuffle here.
Good. Well, Darcell, do you have a website where people can contact you?
Right now I'm on Facebook.com, Darcell Aniska Smith, and Instagram, Aniska Smith 5.
Great. So I guess we're going to have you go over and join our band.
Okay.
And you're going to play with Dick Castell. We've got Moises Soul. We've got Deanne. Who's that? Ben Williams. And we've got Andrea. D'Angelo, how are you? I know he's hiding behind there. I was trying to get him out there.
Great guys.
Hi, guys. Okay, so Darcelle Smith is going to join the band now, and I'm looking forward to this so much. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting
me. And I look forward to hearing more from you, and especially when you get your new album done.
You will. You will be one of the top five. Okay.
Great. Thank you. Darcelle Smith.
Okay.
Already, look at that.
All right.
Castell Jazz Combo. Thank you, Darcelle. That was
lovely.
Wonderful.
Yes, it was.
You know, my next guest here is Bruce Williamson Jr., and he is with the Temptations, but he is also working on a new project, which is a gospel project, right?
Yes,
Bruce?
It is. Yes, yeah. It is.
And it is, you've got a new single coming out.
Called Send the Rain.
Send the Rain, and that's going to be out in January.
January.
Yeah, are you excited about that?
Oh, very excited. Yeah. Very excited.
So tell me a little bit about your transition from, you know, working with the Temptations, and tell me how you got there.
Actually, it was a guy named Dave Wallace. When I was about 16, took me under his wing, became my personal manager, and artist development on me. We were traveling to California to meet up with some LA producers, and met a young lady who knew Ron Tyson of the Temptations and Joe LaVert, and met Ron Tyson. He took me under his wing and became a godfather, and he groomed me for over a decade to eventually be a part of Temptations.
And then you've been doing that for how long now?
Ooh, close to a decade.
Now, what is the most interesting thing that you found being part of this wonderful group that has such a history?
Otis Williams is one of the meek and humblest guys you've ever want to meet. And being under a great leader like himself, like Otis, that is the most fascinating thing in the world. Things that normally would rub people the wrong way, he takes everything with a smile, gracefully, classy, always. So to me, that's the most fascinating.
Well, I know you're a very spiritual man. We've had some conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I know leading into this gospel song mm-hmm. that you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And so how did that evolve?
Well, to be honest with you, I was working on this gospel project before I got the opportunity to be at Temptation. And when the opportunity came to me, I almost didn't take it because I'm like, okay, God, I'm sold out for you. I'm going to. And a lot of spiritual advisors told me, so Bruce, you know, hey, this is what God has you to do. You go in there and you be a difference. You make a difference. So I put my best foot forward being a Temptation. And when God told me that, okay, the time is now, you know, he blessed me with people to work with, like my colleague, Shirley Wilson. I mean, a whole list of wonderful band members. The band is called Predestined Incarceration, as a matter of fact. And yeah.
Now, we're gonna have Shirley on another time.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna bring you both back on so mm-hmm. that we can talk a little bit more about the gospel project and
right.
about how you all came together. What is the thing about Las Vegas? I want to find out what is it about Las Vegas that you find so special, because a lot of people have misconceptions about Las Vegas, and they wouldn't even think that there's gospel music here.
Well, for me, Las Vegas is like a melting pot. Everything that you want, culture, whatever, you could find it here in Las Vegas. It may not be authentic to what you're used to from where you're from, but you can find it here in Las Vegas. Now, as far as like the gospel community, it's very strong. You have people who love Jesus, who loves Jesus. And they don't look at it as being Sin City, they look at it as being Saved City. So that's, and it's a strong community. We're a family.
I wonder if we could ever get them to change our title, you know, our tagline for Las Vegas, and say the Saved City.
You know what? That's close to, you know, that's sure to come.
Yeah.
Sure to come.
So who was the most impressive or most influential for you here in Las Vegas when you came here in the gospel community?
I would have to say Ken Young.
And why is that?
That's another person that God blessed to be an influence, that put his arms around me and been like a father, a big brother, a friend. Ken Young.
So it sounds like you've just, when you came here, you got introduced to a lot of people right away.
Yeah. I mean, Bible says your talent makes room for you. So, I mean, yeah, when I moved here, I mean, people found out I was a singer, and next thing you know, opportunities, God just blessed for them to just fall in my lap. And I'm grateful.
So who wrote this song?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
Okay, how did the process go for you when you were writing this song? Was it the lyrics? Was it the music?
It was more my relationship with Christ, you know, to be honest with you. It was a season where everybody that I knew were going through something. And no matter how hard the trial was, they never lost their faith. They knew that God was going to bring them out, that this whatever they were going through was temporary. And that was the inspiration for the song.
And when you get this ready to get it released, who is going to be behind you marketing this song?
Oh, man. I mean, you have people like Shamari Stone from NBC Washington. You have, it's a lot of people that God is, I don't have a list of names for you.
Well, you better get them ready for the Grammys, you know.
Oh, yeah, you're right, you know, and I like to thank.
But, and speaking of the Grammys, that's where we met. We met at one of the meetings that they had here over at, with Zoe over at the Palms.
At the Palms.
The studio at the Palms.
Yes.
And they're doing a lot of great work. They're trying to, we're going to be going on to the Hill. What is it, Grammys on the Hill? Coming up in, what is it, April?
In April, yes.
Yeah, where we're going to be going there and talking about, you know, representing the musicians, the songwriters, and trying to make sure that we're all getting the rights for the music that we're doing.
Exactly.
So how do you feel about getting involved in something like that? I mean, political.
Humbling. It's humbling, actually. I mean, the idea that I was invited to be a part of, you know, the Grammy organization, it's humbling within itself, but then to actually find out it is more than just the awards and what, you know, they stand for, what they represent. You know, it's humbling, and it's indeed a privilege. It's a privilege.
Well, they do a lot of work. They have Music Cares, you know, so they're out there doing a lot of things for the musicians that need help. And that's a little known fact. I think it's little known among just regular people that don't know that. We know about it.
Right.
Because we're part of it.
Right.
But so a lot of what is made with the organization is then in turn to given out to take care of musicians that maybe have some kind of hard luck or something that medically they need help with.
Right.
So, and you're part of it, and I'm part of it, and all of us that are involved with the Grammys. So, where can we find out about your music?
I am on Facebook at I Am Big Bruce, and you can also, for those Temptation fans, you can go to thetemptations.xyz, and I'm also on Instagram at I Am Big Bruce as well.
Okay, and when you are working with the Temptations, now of course that's a little different feel than doing your gospel. What is your most favorite part about working with them?
The fans. I mean, their unwavering love and support of this group is humbling and mind-boggling. I mean, around the world. I mean, it's amazing when you start a song, how everybody knows the song and they sing along with you. How you have people who travel on their own, out of their own pockets to go to different shows. Like, you live in Louisiana and you're over here in Hawaii. Really? That's
a long trip.
That's a long trip. So the fans, man.
What is your goal? If you were talking to a young student right now, I want you to look in that camera and I want you to tell them, what are the three most important things that they should do to get into this industry? And what are the biggest steps they need to take and to keep in mind?
First of all, be true to your craft. Like Darcell said earlier, you know, always strive for perfection. Always, because there's somebody out there that's hungrier than you. Number two, stay humble. Stay humble. Number three, which should have been the first, for me, put God first. Whenever you put God first, things always work out.
Gosh, that was great. That was great. So, you know, we've got to get you to come to one of our organization meetings sometime, you know, for women in music and arts.
Oh, my God, yes.
I know. We have our events about once a month, and we're always raising money for scholarships.
Oh, my God.
For either UNLV, the jazz program, or the Nevada Ballet, or the Art Institute, or the opera singers. you know, that go over to Italy, and I'd love to have you be part of that sometime.
That would be an honor.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and next time maybe we can get you up to sing a song.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, man. Looking forward to it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Bruce,
thank
for
you.
Coming on the show. All right, I appreciate it. And now we're going to hear a little bit more from the Dick Castell Jazz Combo.
Oh, God.
I'd like to thank my guests today, Darcell Smith, Bruce Williamson Jr., and of course, the Dick Castell Jazz Combo. And we'll see you next time. Next week, we're gonna have jazz singer Pascal Elia.